Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He's talking about the remnant, and we're going to talk about the earmarked characteristics of the remnant, the residue, the small elect that are going to be with Jesus in light of the many who claim to know him across the globe. We're seeing in the headlines and on nearly every article the signs of the final days before Jesus Christ comes. In fact, the final moments before he comes. And as some friends and I pass around on a regular basis in order to edify and encourage one another in this last hour, this, my friends, no matter what day it is that you are listening to this message, this is a Luke 21:28 day. Jesus is coming soon, and it's countdown to glory. Hallelujah. And this excitement is in the heart of every true remnant saint of Christ, where every day, every single day now is a Luke 21:28 day. Jesus said, after giving the signs before that would be evidence before his soon return, Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, and those that love him obey him." Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Hallelujah. God is revealing glimpses and more to us, his people, that is. We are in for the long-awaited, most infinite, never-ending blessing with heaven's King, according to 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Also, 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's read it again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we look not at the things which are seen," look around you, and everything you see is temporary, "but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, notice what comes to mind is scriptures like Isaiah 65:17, which says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Also, the next chapter, Isaiah 66:22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." One more, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. John Crane, Brother John, says, "It is the spiritual blessings that we should crave and not the physical that moth and rust does corrupt. If I have Christ, then I have all that I need in abundance. Unquote. Friends, the wicked shall be doomed, and the righteous will reign with King Jesus forevermore. Check out Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, which says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars," notice the picture there, it's kind of like God has squatters in the earth, if you will. You know how we see these stories where people who own a home get violated by their property being invaded by squatters who take possession of that home, and then they have to go in there and blast those squatters against their will out of that home that they own. Well, it's going to be the same thing when Jesus comes back. Notice he's coming back with cruelty and with wrath and fierce anger. And to do what? Here it is. To lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Get the picture? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24, verse 1. Now notice here in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, the next verse, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." That's Isaiah 13, verses 9 through 11. So the wicked are going to be doomed, and the righteous will reign with King Jesus forevermore. Notice Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 states, "Concerning the coming of the Lord," Daniel 12, 1 through 3, "and at that time shall Michael stand up," that is Michael, the archangel of God, "the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book," that's the book of life as we read about in Revelation, etc., "and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." That is Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Also, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 7 through 10. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. And it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Make no mistake, those that are known of the Lord, that know God, obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would mean that they're actively involved in praying for and supporting and enacting the Great Commission. Verse 9, "Who shall be punished," that is those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel, "they shall be" what? "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, God's not going to punish"? I don't know where they get this. Anyway, it says right here, "Who shall be" what? "Punished." They're going to receive retribution due to them as those who chose to rebel against the Almighty. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Passages like the end of Mark chapter 9, where there's going to be everlasting destruction in the form of fire to burn, to torment all those who die in sin. Jesus taught that if your hand offends you, cut it off. "It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm, that means their consciousness, dieth not. No one will ever cease to have consciousness. We are created at a certain moment in history. We have a beginning, but we have no ending. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Notice, the fire that never shall be quenched. Think long and hard about disobeying God, beloved, and living in sin, because Jesus said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." Luke chapter 12, verse 40. So here in 2 Thessalonians 1, we're reading 7 through 9. Verse 9 speaks of the rebels. He says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. They're going to hell, and they will never escape other than to be brought before the great white throne judgment, and then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come, here it is again, when Jesus comes, what is it going to be like? Here it is. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Now we're going to read one more passage here. Revelation 19, 7 through 16. Notice Revelation chapter 19, what a glorious chapter that is. Beginning of verse 7, notice the scripture says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him," that is the Lamb of God, "for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Amen. Those who are the wife of the Lamb, the bridegroom Jesus Christ, are making themselves ready. In fact, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Everyone that has this hope, the hope of the return of Christ in him, purifieth himself, even as he, that is Christ, is pure. So the only people that are going to be with Jesus, it's very simple, saints. They are keeping themselves holy and pure as a bride before her wedding with her bridegroom. They are evading and staying away from, avoiding, and overcoming through the blood of Christ's cross and through the crucified life, all sin. That's who's going to be in glory. Now look around you at all the churchgoers who could care less and have no fervency or conscientiousness or diligence toward overcoming all sin, when the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That's 2 Corinthians 7, 1. I want to ask you, when's the last time your favorite preacher preached on that verse? Not only holiness, but perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When? If he's not preparing you to meet Jesus through preaching the full counsel of God's word, warning and teaching, PWT, Colossians 1:28, he is a false teacher and you should run for your life. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now, some people want to argue that the New Jerusalem is actually the bride of Christ. Well, we just saw right here that the bride of Christ specifically has on clean and white linen, and that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It cannot be mistaken. Anyone who is a honest Bible student knows that the bride of Christ is the body of Christ. Maybe we will do a message specifically on that here in the days to come. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, now this is the Apostle John as he was getting this vision, this download from glory from God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. And to thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So this messenger angel instructed John not to worship him. Notice verse 11, the rider on a white horse. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Notice the violent nature in which Jesus is going to return to eradicate the earth of all rebellion. Again, friends, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Jesus is returning in great violence to destroy the wicked and to, quote, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, you heard the gospel from the messengers of the Lord, the Lord's people, and you responded with repentance and faith, and you followed him to the end. And so you, my friend, can be looking up and lifting up your heads as we look for the soon return of Jesus, for your redemption draweth nigh. One dear sister, Sister Karen, said, I am homesick for heaven. Love it. I am homesick for heaven. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A dear sister and close friend of mine, Sister Dana Carter, said, joy is in the morning, no night there with our Lord. I cannot count my tears here, but oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall exist or come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eyes, and all is peace forever. More on that happy golden shore. What a glorious day that will be. Meanwhile, the scripture says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, we see mankind manifesting his rebellion or its rebellion yet more and more every day. In that same chapter, 2 Timothy 3, the scripture speaks, gives a resume of the wickedness of men, even those who have a form of godliness, that they will be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Recently, I wrote about how so many people who claim that Jesus is their Savior and that they're ready to meet him seem to spend more time and money on frivolity and things that have no eternal value than they do on helping the kingdom work of Christ in the earth. That's a very sad reality, but we see it, especially those in the ministry who run on empty almost perpetually while they feed the Word of God to people that have resources that they could be investing in the eternal eternal kingdom of Christ, as Jesus actually commanded us to do when he said to lay not up treasures for yourselves on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and no thieves can break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:19-21, the way we spend our money is a direct reflection of the priorities of our hearts. So anything that happens between now and when you, my friend, are with Christ is a mere speed bump which you will not even remember. Neither shall it come into mind, we read earlier, for all eternity in the tidal wave of divine blessing you are going to experience and enjoy with heaven's King. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revelation 21:4-6, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. One believer has written the following. He says, Death is not to be feared. It ushers us into eternity with God. Life with God eternally is what every one of us should long for. In everything you do, have eternity in mind. If there is anything in your life that is drawing you away from God, you should realize that it is not worth it. So we, his children, saints, as we come in for a close here, we are planning on going on a permanent vacation. Someone has rightly stated that the earth is preparing for war, but heaven is preparing for a marriage. A marriage between Christ, the great bridegroom, and his bride, that is, those who choose to be his by being saved, repenting, being born again, and enduring to the end to be saved into eternal glory. The scriptures often speak about initial and final salvation. Jesus told his own that you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10:22 and 24:13. So the pains, the heartaches, and the losses of this life cause us to look to the bridegroom who is going to take us away, and there will be no more pain. Nothing negative ever again. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you want to be ready for the return of Christ? I can think of very few passages I would point you to than this one that we're going to read, Colossians 3:1-4. As we close here, friends, the scripture says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. There are all scripture rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting, and feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.